morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome, bienvenue, willkommen, bienvenidos, benvenuti, benvindo, velkommen, tervetuloa, and if you're Ukrainian, laskavo proshmo, to the third ESC Bet podcast of 2013. Or maybe it's not, but we'll get onto that in a minute. Today we'll be discussing the entries in the second semi-final. My name's Andy Redfern, known on the website as Scandy Andy. And who do we have today? Well, we have the head honcho, the main man, the main editor, the main writer. You can tell he's the boss as he talks a load of toss. It's Gavster, Gavin Lambert. Welcome, Gavin.
Thanks for that one again, Andy.
No problem. We've had problems with the sites lately. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, it's a difficult and fluid situation at the moment. Currently, SBET doesn't exist. I don't have access to the database, so I can't retrieve a lot of the old articles. However, I have started a new domain, esktips.com, and you can visit that now. Everything is live. We are gradually building it from the homepage outwards, so it all looks nice and pretty, ready for Malmo.
Yes, excellent. I mean, I should just point out that sadly, Esktips will also be blighted by the writings of Scandy Andy. So in case you want to check that out, you should bear that in mind. But thanks for that, Gav. Okay, and our very special guest today. Gav has so far been responsible for booking all the guests, and this time he's really outdone himself. I think in the last podcast I described myself as an indie fan, and so to have this person on the other end of the Skype line is just an honour for me. 23 years ago, he implored us all to sit down. It's the lead singer of James. It's Tim Booth. Tim, welcome.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for having me. I've never heard that one before, so...
Never heard which one?
the Tim Booth from James.
Gav?
I didn't tell you, did I?
No, you didn't. So I gave him all this build-up to hear this poor joke, well, actually quite well executed, I feel, that he's heard so many times before.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I get it fairly regularly, so...
Well, okay, so we have Tim Booth. Who the hell are you, then?
Well, you might know me on the internet as Tim B. That's where I tend to post as on Twitter and sites such as yourself, SofaBet, Entertainment Odds. I'm a professional gambler slash trader, I suppose. I focus on Eurovision and reality TV markets. So I'm an expert on The X Factor, Britain's Got Talent and Big Brother, which I've just started a new blog. You can find it on the internet this summer. I'm just going to be ready for the new series. So looking forward to getting involved with that.
Okay, so we are discussing the first eight songs of the second semi-final. We have San Marino, Macedonia, Azerbaijan, Finland, Malta, Bulgaria and Iceland. But first we start with a country that's quite close to my heart. They made their debut in Eurovision in 2000 with the song My Star by Brainstorm. And a few years later, that was actually the first dance at my wedding. Sad and tragic as I am. Okay, this year Latvia have PER with Here We Go. Here we go.
Darkness, it took me to a height of a lonesome, cold and a never-ending night. I'm the man on the moon, call me Andy Kaufman. There are demons inside me, but I'm a stomper. And I know I can be an unstoppable force. So try, man, let me take a walk on the right side.
Yeah, Here We Go or Here We Just Don't Go?
I think it's more Don't Go, certainly. I saw these guys at the weekend in London. Mm-hmm. And their act was firmly rooted in the 90s. It wasn't strong at all. While the beatbox was very impressive, I feel that's their strongest suit. When it comes to actually performing a modern current song, I'm afraid they fell flat. It's a football chant, and it's reminiscent of PJ and Duncan. It didn't come across very well. I doubt it will do very well at Eurovision semi-final. They've got no friends. They don't have the strongest qualification record. In fact, just in the last decade, they've failed to qualify 5 times. Being first on, I don't think it'll fly at all.
I'm not sure their qualification record is to do with, well, them being Latvia. It's more their songs have been appalling of late. Really, there's been some stinkers there. Don't you think, Tim?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. The last few years in particular have been terrible for Latvia. We've had Angel in Disguise and last year the awful Beautiful Song. This year's is no better, to be honest. It's pretty dated. I don't think it'll get anything from juries or televoters. And I think it should be the favourite to come last in the semi-final.
Yes, to be honest, I think that's fair enough. OK, on to the next song. She's back. Not sure if she still wants to have cyber sex with us. But here, for the second time in a row, is Valentina Moneta with Crisalide. Vola, vola via da te, sempre sola fino a te, un riflesso apparirà, nello specchio che ruba l'immagine, in mille pezzi di vertigine, luce. You welcome Valentina back into the contest?
I did. I have to say I was very pleased when it was announced she was doing it again. I think she's a great character and I was interested to hear this song. But, well, I have to say I'm disappointed. It starts off really well. The piano intro is very promising. The first minute or so is very classy. But then I just think it goes into boring territory. It's very slow. There's no proper chorus. Mm. It's not structured well. The last minute is an abomination, in my opinion. It sounds like I Will Survive, you know, the Gloria Gaynor disco classic. It's very dated.
It is a bit of a change in that last minute, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a massive change. I think the fanboys love it, but in terms of the wider voting, televoting public and juries, I really don't think they'll get it.
Got a lot of the fan vote, though, hasn't it?
It does, yeah. It's doing very well in the polls. It went down a storm in London at the weekend, but they're really going to struggle from this second place in the running order because it's got so many quality songs following it and it just could just be left forgotten at the start.
Fair enough. Gav, would you echo Tim's thoughts?
I would echo everything Tim has said. The thing is, it's a confusing situation because Valentina is a cult figure of last year. Due to the shocking Social Network song she delivered last year. I think Crisalide is flying very high purely because of her cult status last year. I don't think the song is particularly well written. It is all over the place, a bit disjointed. And when it finishes with the schlager final minute, just destroys whatever credibility she'd built up during the first 2 minutes. Even as a ballad for 2 minutes, it's not that strong. And one thing that I found at the weekend watching Valentina is that she doesn't actually deliver the song very well. Again, another problem is that she keeps her eyes closed during most of the performance. And one thing that TV televoters need is visual connection with the artist. And she doesn't give them that.
Tim?
I think it's not a total no-hoper. It's possible that the juries might give it some extra love for it being San Marino. They are a televoting minnow in Eurovision terms. But there are also quite a lot of other big jury songs in this semi-final. There's Israel later on, which I think kills this. But then San Marino aren't totally friendless. They've got this perception they've got no friends. But in this semi-final, they've got Albania, they've got Malta, and the Italian language might pick up some votes from Romania and Greece, but that remains to be seen. I don't think they'll be, you know, getting loads of votes, but they will pick up a fair few. But whether it's enough to get them through, I don't think it would be.
I can imagine the staging being quite tragic for this. I really can.
Definitely.
It's going to be a budget stage.
Will she have her laptop out again?
She won't, no. It's, you know, it's a Ralph Siegel song. He takes control of all the elements of his acts performance, and it's just going to be a big red mess on the stage, I think.
I would agree with everything you've said about the song. My yes, it's a big fan favourite, but it's also a micronation. And yes, you can talk about relative voting strength, but when it comes down to it, a lot of people just kind of ignore San Marino, certainly on the televoting thing. Andorra had that problem, certainly a few years ago. So it's a maybe, but it's certainly not a definite at all.
I think it really goes against the premise that any nation, if they send a good song, can do very well. And I'm always led to believe that no matter how small you are, let's just say San Marino sent something like I Feed You My Love or Only Teardrops, you would certainly rank them as being a qualifier.
That's true. I would agree with that. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's true for me, but I certainly wouldn't call it a definite qualifier, whatever the song were.
The trouble is, as a song, it's quite half-baked, so it does pass a lot of viewers by. And being at number two in the running order and being in a gaggle of three songs that are low-grade by Eurovision terms, it's likely that it'll just disappear down the memory hole.
It's actually brilliant value not to qualify at the moment. On Betfair, you can lay it between 1.4 and 1.45, which for a country like San Marino is excellent value. You know, their qualification record is terrible. They've never qualified, so a big victory, a big success for them to qualify here.
Well, yes, and let's not forget the greatest ever San Marino Eurovision artist is Valentina Moneta last year. Okay, time to move on from our favourite Sammarinese pop pixie, and it's time to go to Macedonia. This time they have Esma and Lozano with Pred da se razdeni. Se na vreme za ubavi denovi do mene ostani. Macedonian fan?
I'm certainly not. I usually am, to be honest with you. I do like their blend of dated rock, and particularly the one from 2 years ago. But this year, it's pretty awful. It's folk mixed in with a shrieking gypsy. It doesn't go down well at all. I saw the Amsterdam in concert videos. It looked a bit disjointed. It seemed as if Lozano didn't really want Esma there, and it really looked as if there was no chemistry between the two of them at all. And I just don't think this song will come across well to the TV audience. I can imagine that there will be a locality that appreciates this kind of music, however, the wider Western world will not.
That's fair enough. Tim, do you see a possible divorce between Esma and Lozano?
I do, yeah, and I was just going to say, I feel like in the spirit of the song, it feels like we should be interrupting each other, because this song is such a mess, and it sounds like someone's cut and pasted two songs and just plonked them together and seen how it's gone and sent it to Eurovision. It's awful. It's just a nightmare that you can never wake up from, and thank God it's only 3 minutes long. I think they did so well with Calliope last year. She qualified, you know, it was a great performance. This year is a massive, massive step backwards.
And this is their second attempt at sending the song. The first one was even worse.
Yeah, it was, yep.
But voting strength in this semi, surely?
They do have a little voting strength. From my figures, I think I placed it somewhere within the bottom six. So it's not great strength. They can rely on only a few friendly votes from the likes of Albania.
Well, that's a very friendly vote, though.
Yeah, it is. But I would say that the chance of this qualifying is zero.
You heard it here first. So please, it's time to move on to last year's hosts, Azerbaijan. Will they maintain their excellent Eurovision record? This time they've selected Farid Mamadov, and he wants you to hold him. Remember how we used to laugh, but now we look lonely from the past. Let's find the strength to carry on. Tim, are you a Farid fan?
I am, yes. I think in the context of this semi, it comes across as a major, major relief. The first three songs are so awful, and this is the only one that's, you know, it's traditional, it's a decent entry. I think it's a good ballad. It's not one of the best ballads this year, but it is from Azerbaijan, and it's going to likely do very well. I would predict it will maintain Azerbaijan's top 10 record, but with this one, it might be floating towards the lower end of the top 10. It has a Greek composer, so I think they are lacking Turkey this year. They don't get a 12 there, but they may be aiming for a 12 from Greece because it's a very famous Greek songwriter, and perhaps maybe from some points from Cyprus as well. It does sound very Greek, actually.
There's certainly an Hellenic element, wouldn't you say, Gav?
I must say, I don't really hear that at all. I hear a dull ballad. I haven't been a fan of this song from day one, and I find it very difficult to get excited about. I find Farid to be quite a poor singer as well. I think he's nasal, and I think he has tuning problems, and we've had many a debate in the comments section of our old
songs. Oh, indeed, I read those, yes.
Exactly, and you know, whenever you criticise a massive diaspora nation such as Azerbaijan, you do tend to receive a lot of flack in the comments sections of websites.
And Gavin, I didn't know you had a PhD in music. I believe that was one of the comments.
That was one, and I don't profess to know anything at all about music, but what I do know is what works. And Azerbaijan for me just doesn't work. I think it's perfectly pleasant ballad, but I think he has tuning problems, and I think he has delivery problems in terms of how he presents himself to televoters. I think a female would be certainly better at delivering that song. Azerbaijan are definitely looking at one of their worst finishing positions. I'm not sure you can count on all the friends. The difficulty we have is that since Azerbaijan came into the contest in 2008, they've done very well. They've had very good songs. And this is the first year that will test them. A lot of the past voting history is based on them having a very good song. This one is just very steady. It doesn't make you grab the telephone and think, oh, I'm going to vote for that. And I think some of those stats that suggest some countries particularly like Azerbaijan are going to reverse slightly after this year's contest.
Well, and also particularly Turkey, which is possibly their biggest friend in the voting. I have to say I'm fast running out of vocab for all the ballads I hear, you know, mid-tempo ballads or whatever. I have to confess I'm not really a fan of ballads. It's unremarkable. It's Azerbaijan. I think it'll qualify with a good draw. It'll definitely be top half. With a bad draw, it'll be bottom half. Sorry.
I think that's a bit unfair. I would disagree. I think Azerbaijan, their record is so strong in the competition. I don't think they would send a song unless they were confident in it. And I think all these problems with the vocals that we've heard can be rectified in plenty of time from Malmo. And as long as they get the staging right, I don't really see how they can be out of the top 10, because it is very competent.
I think the thing with Azerbaijan is that they'll do what Ireland did with Jedward. They'll whack up the backing singers to compensate for Farid's inadequacies. Yes, it's a top 10, but I think it's a borderline top 10. I think it sits anywhere between 8th and 12th.
I didn't hear the problem in the vocals that Gav heard, but I don't think anything for me in the vocals will make it more interesting than it is, which it isn't in particular. Okay, next up is Finland. She kissed a girl and she liked it. It's Krista Siegfrieds with Marry Me. What do you think?
I think it's a very strong song. Initially, I wasn't overly impressed with it because I had my own favourites from the Finnish national final. However, I can fully understand why it will potentially do very well, mainly because it follows in Jedward's trend. It's becoming a cult classic with the ding-dong catchphrase. Krista delivers it extremely confidently. And the choreography just works a treat. And I mentioned Jedward because if you look at Jedward when they did Lipstick, it was all about the stage show, it was all about the energy, it was all about the cult following, a catchphrase, a personality. And I think Krista is bringing that to Malmö. Having seen her this weekend in London, it was those elements that were at the forefront of everyone's mind in the press arena, really. They were all saying that Krista and Marry Me was creating the buzz and it's going to be the Jedward of Eurovision 2013. So it's going to be interesting going forward, but certainly I think it's one for qualification. Where it goes from that, I really don't know.
Tim, do you agree with Gav there?
Well, the short answer is no. It is another fan favourite, but other than that, I don't think it's got much going for it. The song's quite tacky. I don't think it's going to get much of a score from juries. Finland itself in this semi-final has very, very low televoting power. It's way down third from bottom on my figures from historical voting figures. Yeah, I don't know. I think Krista herself, she is a star. We met her, we spoke to her the weekend in London. She's full of charisma. I just wish she had a better song. Yeah, I don't think this is qualifying right now because for me personally, there's a lot of strong songs in the second half of this semi-final. And I think Finland has quite a poor draw, actually. It's fifth in the running order, is that right?
It is fifth, yes.
Fifth is still quite early. It is sandwiched between Azerbaijan and Malta, which I would rate much, much higher than this. So I don't know. At this stage, I don't think it will qualify. And I would say I think that the lesbian kiss is a really bad idea. I think it would be gimmicky. I think it would alienate many parts of Europe. I think the juries would punish it further. Cause it's not really a jury-friendly song anyway. And when they're adding desperate gimmicks in like that, I think it could potentially kill it off.
I think you're basically over-categorising the juries. You know, there's a lot of people who won't necessarily see it because as gimmicky because they'll have read the story behind it. As regards, there's so many places in Europe that are in a way different place where they were 20 years ago, including the United Kingdom. So I think you could be in danger of just kind of ascribing to them a possibly more overly homophobic attitude than is necessary.
I don't think it's about homophobia. I think if the song was strong enough on its own, it wouldn't need any kind of gimmicks or publicity campaign. But it's a difficult one.
I think the strength of the song has given them that gift to be able to launch a publicity campaign. There are a lot of hooks in the song. Whilst you may think it's dated, I think it does follow the Katy Perry line. Okay, it's more towards the young end of the musical scale, but it's a party song. It will appeal to those people that are watching at that time of night. It is a bit of a crowd pleaser. And coming after Azerbaijan, I think it'll probably be a welcome crowd pleaser.
I mean, yes, it is, without a doubt. It's throwaway, but it is very catchy. I think Krista Siegfried will give one of the best on-stage performances of the night. Her singing was actually pretty good in Helsinki, considering she had a sore throat at the time. And I just think it's a definite qualifier. Just because of the change of mood from, well, the first four songs, who nobody was a huge fan of. It'll provide that change. And yes, it's possible top 10 for me.
Well, I would have to disagree there. I think it's very rare these days for up-tempo songs to land in the top 10. The juries especially tend to go for ballads, as do the televoters, really. And in this semi, I think it will struggle because, well, I've got really strong views on the latter half of the second half of the semi. I think there's a lot of diaspora rich nations there. They've got Romania, there's Greece, there's hot favourites Norway and Georgia, and it would have to potentially topple some of these songs in the televote at least for it to qualify. And I don't think it's possible really, when you consider a country like Greece has somewhere like four times the voting strength of Finland, and even Albania, Armenia have got three times as much voting power. So it's by no means a certain qualifier, and the market reflects that right now. So it could go either way, but I definitely wouldn't touch it until at least the jury semi-final.
I'm sorry, we'll have to agree to disagree there, because I think it's a certain qualifier. I just know my Finland, basically. And the fact that in the televote in Finland, it was quite a strong Finnish final this year, and it was out of eight songs, it got 38% of the televote. Second was 16. So it's got that televote X factor, I think. Anyway, that's enough. Okay, end of debate. Now we move on to the island nation, which has never won but has always done quite well in Eurovision. It's Malta, Gianluca Bettiza with Tomorrow. Oh, time to follow her tomorrow. Whoa, oh, oh. He fell for her too fast. We all thought it wouldn't last. Cause good old Jeremy likes his rigorous routine. To Tim first, but I think he probably, his lungs need a rest. So Gav, what do you think?
I was quite pleasantly surprised about this one. It's a bit of a grower. It's very reminiscent of Tom Dice's entry a couple of years ago for Belgium. It's a pleasant 3 minutes. It's upbeat, it's got a strong story to it. Gianluca is a real smiler, very charismatic, and he delivers the song with blissful simplicity. It's just so simple, yet I imagine it will get a lot of love from the juries, and I think it'll capture a lot of floating voters on the night. It's on my qualification list. Outside of that, I don't think it's a goer in the final. I think it'll likely replicate Paradise Oscar, incoming quite far down in the pecking order, but certainly for qualification, I think it's there.
Definite qualifier for you two?
Yeah, I would agree with everything that Gavin just said. It's very catchy, it's credible, and the lyrics are very charming. Yeah, it will appeal all across Europe, I think. So all of the different regions, I think, will appreciate it. And Malta also has a very decent record with the juries, if you like. So I think they're going to appreciate it too. In a way, it's a shame that this is in the first half, because had it been on a bit later on, say where Switzerland was, I would fancy it for each way or top three bet in the semi. But definitely a qualifier, yeah, and one to watch for a bit later.
No, absolutely. I can see the Tom Dice things. Some people might say the lyrics aren't inspiring, being about Jeremy in IT. It's not really a universal motif, do you think?
It's talking about health and safety, really. It's talking about everyday life, and I think it addresses some strains and annoyances of everyday life. It'll resonate with people.
Yeah, but I expect to hear your entry next year into a song for Europe, a song all about health and safety. I hope it makes it. What you've been saying about voting strength, that heartens me. Yeah, I just like it, really. It's not going to be a challenger. I think there's no way it will be top half of the leaderboard if it does qualify, but good luck to Gianluca. Okay, before playing the next song, maybe we should think about Bulgaria's incredible record of Eurovision success. Now we've done that, here's Elitsa and Stoyan with Samo Šampioni. What do you think?
I absolutely love this song. I think it's very distinctive. It's got an ethnic vibe. Elitsa and Stoyan are capable of a very extremely charismatic performance. They came fifth in 2007 with their song Water. I think the drum playing is very effective. I think everyone's going to remember it. I think the juries will appreciate their musicianship. It's very authentic. It's got a strong national vibe. I think it will be appreciated very well in its region. Bulgaria as well has got very, very strong voting power in the semi. Okay, so the qualification record is awful, but from my figures, it's actually ranked fourth.
Well, they've certainly got Greece, Macedonia, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got Albania, they've got Spain, yeah. Romania, so there's quite a lot going on in terms of their voting power.
Okay, fair enough. Gab, would you agree?
Again, I would echo Tim's comments there. They do have very strong representation from local allies. And what that will bring is an appreciation for that style of music, of which I do not share a love of. I'm not a fan of people like Stomp, and I didn't particularly like their 2007 entry. I just couldn't work it out at all. It was 3 minutes of screeching for me, and this one comes quite close to 3 minutes of screeching again. You could give 3 minutes to Esma if you wanted to, and it would probably come up with the same tune. But I do appreciate the fact that it has a lot of local support. It's distinctive. It has a lot of unique selling points in this semi-final. And I think it'll do very well, but I don't like it.
I think 3 minutes of screeching, that's a bit unfair. This song strikes me as being structured a bit more traditionally than Water, which kind of was a lot of screeching.
Actually a better version. I think it was far more instant, perhaps more entertaining. I think this one is perhaps a little more broken. It'll be interesting to see if the juries mark it as an original song. Perhaps whether an audience that is familiar with Eurovision says, hang on, didn't they do that in 2007? Again, I imagine a lot of people that are just tuning in for the first time will just take it as it is, and that's 3 minutes of madness, and totally unique on the night, and will vote accordingly.
It is madness, yeah, and it's got a very strong overall impression of the performance, which is what the juries are instructed to mark on as well.
No, fair enough. I mean, I can possibly come with it. I personally preferred Water. Water, I really liked. This one, I'm not quite as keen on. Maybe I'm just being a bit more cynical towards it this year. It will qualify with a good following wind. It's got a chance of top 10, possibly even top 5 with a very, very good starting position and between two very different songs. But well done, Bulgaria. Hopefully you'll qualify. Okay, now we go from southeastern Europe to northwestern Europe. Presumably singing in Icelandic this year means that Iceland still can't afford to host it. It's Eyþór Ingi with Eyjalíf. Ég skildi ekki ástina sem öllu hreyfði við. Þorði ekki að faðm og vera til. Þann sem mætti ekki skilið að opna huga mig og hleypa bjartri ástinni þar inn. Ég á líf, yfir erfiðleika svíf. Ég á líf, vegna því. Gavin, are you on Iceland's side this year?
I am not on Iceland's side, as you may be surprised to hear. The song's pleasant enough. I think the fact that he's singing in Icelandic possibly presents a barrier to the wider public.
Might get jury love, though.
It'll get jury love. But what I look for is, okay, there are more countries ahead of Iceland for jury love. They're a little bit further down the queue. But when it comes to the televote, I'm looking for someone that's going to interact with the camera, that's going to provide an evocative performance and earn televotes that way. From the national final, he looks like an extra from Lord of the Rings, perhaps even a member of Wizard. And I think it's that kind of image they need to improve. if they can improve that and if they can present him as someone who looks cutting edge, a bit sensitive, rather than just a weird guy on a keyboard, then I think it could do quite well in the semi-final. Taking it to the final, though, I don't think it stands a chance. It's certainly not Estonia's Kula. He doesn't possess that kind of raw emotion, almost like the bloke next door singing down a local pub, and I think that's what Kula presented. This one just doesn't come anywhere near it.
Okay, so it's the Roy Wood of Iceland and would do better, Tim. That's what Gav's saying. Oh, of course, you're too young for Roy Wood, aren't you?
I was going to say I don't know who that is.
Think I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Of course, yeah.
Would you agree with that, quite frankly, frank opinion of his sartorial excellence?
Yes and no. I think it is a boring ballad, but at the same time, it's perfectly nice and pleasant. It's got a good, strong melody in the chorus, which is very memorable. I think his performance from the national final was excellent, actually. I did think he had some emotion there. Yeah, the language is a problem, but I can't rule this one out for qualification. I would have it more likely to qualify than Finland and San Marino in particular, because I think it's guaranteed to get some jury points, whereas Finland, I'm not so sure. I also think it will get some televoted points, but maybe not as many as some of the songs that are going to come later. But it's one to watch for me, and I definitely wouldn't be opposing it at this stage. I have it as the second best Scandi entry in the semi behind Norway.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, for me, absolutely unremarkable ballad. If this qualifies ahead of Finland, then there'll be a lot of people that I want to shoot, personally.
It'll be down to the juries. If that happens, it'll be because the juries liked Iceland and they didn't like Finland. But
well, that's easier for me, because there's fewer jurors than televoters.
Yeah.
So, I just need to find out the addresses, and that's not a problem with the internet. Okay, and that was the end of our third podcast. And now we come onto the final section, which we like to call Gav's Top Value, where Gav, our main writer, identifies the best value to be had out of these eight songs in the first half, second semi-final. Gav, what have you got for us today?
Well, I have to admit to being slightly rusty with the website issues that we've had over the last few days. So what I will suggest is one that I picked up after a conversation with actually Tim, and that is Bulgaria, A Bit of Each Way. I think they do represent value. Even though I said I don't like the song, you can't sniff at value. And I think an each way bet on Bulgaria is probably a worthy shout. Okay, I think Greece probably nips in ahead of them, but you never know.
Yeah, it's 100-1 as well, so the value is amazing, and it's quite possible that something like Norway, which is the favourite, would fail to fly with the televoters. And if so, this could sneak a place, as it's going to be well-loved by the juries.
So I should point out that's each way in the semi-final, not the final.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Sorry, just making sure that clear. Tim, how about you? Do you have a particular favourite bet today?
I do, yeah. It's also Bulgaria. It's Bulgaria to qualify. You can still get evens with Sportingbet, which I think is amazing value, given the voting power for Bulgaria in the semi and the quality of the song. And I would have to add San Marino, I think, is an amazing value not to qualify, given that they never have before and the song is a bit dodgy, to say the least.
It's Which one point, what odds again?
It's 1.45 to lay on Betfair. If you prefer traditional bookmakers, you can get it at well over evens not to qualify.
I think that's absolutely fair enough. To be honest, as I've told you before, I'm not a great betting expert, but I should just point out I've placed my two bets for this year's Eurovision. So if you want details of who not to back, then that's goodbye Finland and goodbye Norway. Okay. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here today. Thank you, Gavin.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you so much for making the time, Tim.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Excellent. A lot of spirited discussion, I feel, between us. We will be back as soon as possible with the next podcast. Things are obviously up in the air slightly at the moment, but it will certainly be within the next few days or a week or whatever. For now, thank you very much from me, Andy Redfern, from Gavin Lambert, and from Tim Booth. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.